Okay, good morning everybody. And welcome to worship here this morning at Biggleslade Baptist Church. My name is Helen Godfrey. I'll be leading through the first part of the service, bits here, there, and Martin's going to be speaking to us later. It's a special welcome today if you're here as a friend or family of Annie Mooring, who's getting baptised in this service. You're particularly welcome. Hope you really enjoy the service today. Today, obviously, is Easter Sunday, and it's a day of celebration for us all. And I'm hoping this whole service will feel celebratory as we remember what Easter means and we remember what Jesus has done for us. Easter Sunday is really the foundation of our faith. The events that happened at that first Easter are so important, so fundamental to what we believe. And Easter Sunday shows us that Jesus did defeat sin and death on the cross. It shows us that he took our punishment and we now can be reconciled with God. And it shows us that death is not the end, but Easter Sunday points to Jesus' resurrection and our own resurrection and the fact that we will spend eternity with God if we know and love him and choose to follow him in this life. So I want to start by reading some words from 1 Corinthians 15, which say this: "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's customary on many churches on Easter Sunday for the person leading to say, "The Lord is risen," and those in the congregation to respond by saying, "He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." So we'll do that together. I will say, "The Lord is risen," and you will repeat back loudly and excitedly, "The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah."
Brilliant. We're going to sing some songs of celebration. As you're coming in, the children were given maybe streamers or shakers. Feel free to shake them, wave them around, and make it a real town celebration together. If you miss out on getting one, there might be a few left in the back. You want to go and pick one up. But if you're able to, please stand and sing. Oh, and watch out, the second song is going to go straight into the third one and it might catch you out. So follow the songs on the screen. Don't follow my mother on the front row. Thank you very much. Okay.
Christ is risen. See God. powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing comes after this. What a powerful name it is.
Conquering Jesus. Lord, glory to you, for you rose from the dead and you have defeated sin and you have defeated death and you have saved us and you have redeemed us. And we thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God, for all that you've done, for all the hope that you give us, the confidence you give us, the certainty that we have in you, that we are held secure in you and our future is secure in you. And we praise you and we thank you for everything that Easter means, everything that you did for us, everything that you won for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. It's lovely to see a full church this Easter Sunday. And I'll add my welcome to anyone who's come to witness Annie getting baptised this morning. It's really good to see you here. I just need to spend a couple of minutes explaining what's going to happen, especially if you've never been to one of these things before. And what was going to happen to Annie as we baptise her. The first thing to say, as always, is that baptising Annie does not make Annie a Christian. She is already a Christian. The Bible tells us to believe in Jesus and then to be baptised as a way of declaring that belief to friends, family and wider community. So what we're doing today is we're marking something that's already happened. Annie is already following Jesus, and in a little while she's going to tell us a little bit about her story. But just to explain what happens in the pool, we have two sets of steps, one going down this end, one going up the other end, just for sake of argument. And it's really helpful because the whole thing about baptism talks about moving from death into new life. And so Annie will come down the steps on this side of the pool, signifying that she's died to her old way of life. When there's a death, there's a burial. And so taking her under the water represents her old life being buried with Jesus, whose death on the cross and resurrection that we're celebrating today covers all of her sinfulness. And because of that, she is able to rise again with Jesus in this life now, but also in the next life. And that's when we bring her back up out of the water, which everyone is especially pleased about, that we don't just leave her under the water. Then Rob and I, who are doing the baptism this morning, we will pray for Annie, and then she will go out that way, signifying that she's moved from one way of life to another, from death to life, from darkness to light. But again, it's all happened already. She's just testifying to what God has done in her life already. And we're really excited to see that, and we're really excited to hear what Annie's got to say about why she's doing this morning. So without any further ado, up you come, Annie.
Okay.
So it needs to be a bit higher.
I think that's fine, I don't know. Hi, for those who don't know me, my name's Annie, and I've been coming to this church for like as long as I can remember. I've been to my fair share of Sunday clubs, holiday Bible clubs, summer camps, and youth clubs, and I'm so grateful that I was able to grow up in a community as loving and supportive as this. It's funny, because in general, I'm very forgetful, but I can remember the exact moment I decided to give my heart to Jesus. I was 9, and it was at this place called New Wine, which is a Christian festival. Until then, I didn't know very many young people that were like me, my age, except for possibly my cousin. Being surrounded in a room full of people my age praising the same Lord hit me in a way I didn't think it could. I remember thinking, Jesus, I want to follow you, I want to give you my heart. From that point on, I saw myself as a Christian, it was who I was, and it was my identity. To be honest, I wasn't really sure what to write for my testimony. Everything has been really busy recently, and between school, revising, and other things, just been really distracted. I mean, I knew how I wanted to start, but from there I wasn't sure what to put. Being up here feels so surreal, and I think that if you had asked me last year if I wanted to get baptized, my answer would have been no for sure. I felt uncomfortable if someone brought it up, and I even remember my brother asking what I thought about baptism, and I couldn't even respond. I was just thinking about how far I felt from God. Up until a couple of years ago, being a Christian and knowing Jesus had always felt like the one constant in my life. It felt easy, something I was confident in. Growing up, I always felt like I could tell my friends about it, whether that's inviting them to certain groups or even random conversations about Christianity in French class. I was thinking it was about 2 years ago when I started to have huge doubts about what I believed. Stuff happened that really shook my faith, and I remember trying to pray during these times, but feeling so much anger and blame that I couldn't even bring myself to attempt to speak with Jesus. Not having that confidence in myself caused a plummet in my relationship and who I was as a person. I have to say that although sometimes I felt lost, youth groups have really helped me to still have that constant rememberings of it, even if I felt distance from God. I just let all my thoughts and feelings about all that was present, not just in my family and friends, but sometimes in the world, consume me. I'm an avid overthinker, and that really didn't help. I really remember something changing in me after I'd been in one particular prayer session trying to speak to Jesus, but still coming out of it even more empty. I hadn't gotten anything from it, and I had just felt so low because it felt like I couldn't even manage to say one word to God anymore. I came out of it and wandered into another room with a group of friends. I'd managed to keep it together until one of them, unexpectedly holding my arm, said to me, "You are so loved." I think that one sentence hit me like a wall. I started crying on the spot and suddenly just felt this wall that I'd been holding up fall down. I realized how significant that feeling was. It made me realize that I was truly loved by God. Yes, there's been some really hard times where I've doubted the existence of God and honestly doubted myself, but I just want to say that I've always felt so much love from the people around me. My friends, my family, it's really helped me get through, and I don't know where I would be without them. I'm so lucky to have had a positive experience with church and faith. Having a relationship with Jesus had been the best thing in my life. I want to thank my mom for being a constant representation of faith in my life. I also want to thank my brother Ben for all the answers to the silly questions. Yes, being a Christian may not be easy, but it's so rewarding, and I feel taken care of and loved in a way that I can't even explain. I want everyone to know that you are so loved, and I hope Jesus can move in your heart just like he moved in mine.
Thanks, Annie. That's really good to hear your story. And I'm not sure, but I think that's possibly the longest and loudest round of applause that we've had after a testimony. So just to bounce back to you, you are so loved. And thank you for reminding us of that. We're going to sing a couple of songs again now, and then we're going to proceed to the baptism. So I'm handing back to Helen.
And as Annie was saying in her testimony, I couldn't help but see the back of her T-shirt says, Child of God. And this first song is called Who You Say I Am. And it's talking about, once we know God, how our identity is as a child of God and belonging to God. And then the second song is a new one to many of this church. And it's a song that talks about our response, really, to what God has done for us. If this song is not familiar with to you, and it isn't an easy one to pick up, then use that time just to reflect on the words and use it as a prayer time. And hopefully enough people have learnt it, scattered around the church, that it will be okay to get through it. So if you're able to, please stand to sing together.
Child of God, yes.
worship so high. The mountains bow in reverence, so will I. The oceans roar in greatness, so will I. For in everything exists to lift you high, high. The wind goes there, you send me, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. The sun is all your praises, still will shine. The fingers in 100 billion times. So will I. I can see your heart in a million different ways. Your precious one, a child died to save. You gave your life to love them, so will I.
Like you would
again 100 billion times.
You remember that, good brother. So, three questions for you, Annie, before we baptise you. First one, Annie, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
And with the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God, wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
Annie, having heard your wonderful testimony and your answers to those questions, your declaration of faith, it now gives us the greatest pleasure to baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Children of God. And I just pray for her in her journey, in the move, in school, and just everything, that she will really be able to feel your peace.
Yes.
And we thank you for the testament that she is and all she brings to the youth group as well. Bless her abundantly. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, thank you for that very clear message from her about the fact that we are loved. That we are loved by you with that endless love that sent Jesus to the cross on Good Friday and rose him from the dead on this Easter Sunday. And we thank you that she knows that love. She knows that it's a living love. It's a love that will never go away from her because Jesus has promised never to leave or forsake her. And again, we pray as she looks into the future with all the changes that are coming up for the family, that she would know that you are there with her every step of the way. She would sense your love and that she would go deeper into your love and be able to share that with the people around her. Lord, would you bless her? Would you fill her afresh with your Holy Spirit? And would you give her hope? Because she knows she is loved by you and because you hold the future. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So as Annie and Rob and Martin go and get dry, we're going to have the notices, which we've delayed to this point. So the first one I want to highlight is you should all have been given a prayer card as you came in this morning. If you didn't get one, please pick up one as you before you go away. This gives you some inspirational pointers and thoughts to guide your prayers through April. Please take it and please don't just stick it and forget about it. Please make use of it to inspire your prayers throughout this month. On that subject, do you want to do your notice now? Yeah, try that one.
I really got a notice. I just wanted to stand up and look at you all.
It did occur to me that as we had the whole of the Easter weekend, you may not be aware that next Tuesday is the first Tuesday in April. You may think you've missed the first Tuesday, but it's not. It's next Tuesday. And the first Tuesday of the month is the hour of prayer in the room with the orange door. So I thought, well, I better remind them because they'll all forget. So this is a reminder that on Tuesday at 12:30, the orange door will be wide open for anyone who has time to come and just spend an hour in prayer, and I'm hoping to see so many of you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I can't miss the opportunity of being up here in the notices without reminding you all to book for church camp, which is the weekend at the end of, brilliant, not on cue, 26th to 28th of June. We're going to Bury St Edmunds. You book via church suite and you pay via church suite. It'll be a really fun weekend, and we hope that many of you can join us. If you want to come and you don't have camping equipment, that's not an excuse. Come see me, I'll rustle up some from somewhere for you. There will be the chance to come for just the day, and I'll start talking about that kind of middle of next month, I suppose. But please do consider coming for the whole weekend to get to know people in the church better and to build those relationships. It's usually a good time of way together. Are there any other notices? Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? It's usually masses of them. Okay, so the children are going to go out to their activities now. And as they go, they're going to sing another song, which is, this is amazing. Great. Oh, and they're going to go, yes, well reminded. Don't go past the baptistry. We don't want to have any more baptisms today. Go out underneath the clock and into the car park and along the side of the building and into the back hall there. And those who are in the overflow, this is your cue to start packing up and come back the other way. Please don't come back in via the toilet. Come back in via the car park today. Thank you. Okay.
King above all kings.
that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done. Son and daughter, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Light like the sun is, all of it brilliant, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that you'd be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
We've got quite a lot of people coming in from the overflow this morning, and due to the nature of our chairs in here, which are quite wide, the request is could you all just shuffle up together and create a few extra spaces, please, so other people can come in and sit down. It's what we call close fellowship. There's four seats on this side, Ali. There's four empty seats on this side. Four? There's one over there by Ian. There's one behind Annie's empty chair. Don't take that one. What a lovely problem to have. Funny that, the floor's quite comfortable. Bless you. Thanks, Julian. Just pop them down the front of the space here. It's easy to throw things at me if they're sitting there. Is that everyone? Are we good? Back to you then, Helen.
Hey, brilliant. I thought it'd be good to have a time of prayer and a time of reflection in the middle of this busy service. And I'm going to base our prayers on the acronym PRAYER, which is pause, rejoice, ask and yield. So we're going to start our time of prayer by just quietly pausing and reflecting on what it is we're doing when we come to pray. When we come to pray, we are coming to a God who is able God who can do anything, a God who's powerful. We sung about what a powerful name he has this morning. We're coming to bring our concerns, our requests to God who's able, and to a God who loves us and cares about us, who knows what is best for us and longs to delight his children and longs to bless us. So let's just pause to remember who it is we're coming to speak to as we pray. And then we want to rejoice. We want to rejoice for all the good things that God has done. Because as we remember the good things that he's done, that encourages him to trust that he will do good things again. So we rejoice today, obviously, at Easter, in his gift of salvation, in our forgiveness, in all that he has done for us. And in this season of spring, we rejoice as we see nature coming back to life and we see the beauty of the world that God has made. And we rejoice for what God has done in the life of Annie and for her testimony today and the change that you've made in her life, the way you have taken her to be a child of yourself. We rejoice, Lord, for her and for all the young people in our church who have made that step of commitment and come to faith in you. And Lord God, we come now to bring you the things that are on our heart that we want to bring before you and ask you about. Lord, we see the situation in our world with wars in Ukraine, with the war in the Middle East, with what's happening in Israel. And Lord, we just don't know what to do and what to say and what to ask. We bring it to you, Lord God, the God who is able, the God who loves us. And we give you this situation. We ask, Lord, would you act? Would you move? Would you change the situation, Father God? And we bring to you also, God, those who are on our hearts, those known to us, who we are concerned about at the moment. We pray for those that we know who are unwell, facing problems with their health. We pray for those that we know who are lonely and struggling and finding life difficult. We pray for those we know who are facing uncertainty in their employment and in their financial situation. And we bring to you, Lord, the situations in our own lives, things that may be challenges, things that are changing. And we bring it all to you and we ask you, Lord, to be with us and help us to know your presence, help us to know your guiding. And finally, God, in our prayers, we want to yield and we want to give it to you and put it in your hand and accept your way and accept your plans. Lord, whatever it is that we face in our lives, whatever situations we are going through, Lord, we pray, would you be glorified through the situation and through how we live through that situation. And we pray, Lord, would you build our faith in these situations to see you and to trust you. And we pray, Lord, your will be done in each situation that we face. Amen. Okay, it's time now for our reading, which today from the end of the book of Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 1 to 10. If you've got a pew Bible in front of you or a Bible on your app, or you've brought your Bible, please do open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Thank you, Helen. Just to explain what's going to happen in the next few minutes, first of all, I have a notice. So obviously wasn't in here when Helen gave the notices. Secondly, I found just this morning what I thought was a really helpful reflection on Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. So I'd like to share that with you before I actually speak on what I've prepared to speak on today for Annie's baptism. So if you like, there's a notice, a pre-message and a message. We should still be out of here by 1 o'clock, if that's okay. So the notice is from Ollie and Karen Wade, saying, for those not on the prayer chain, could you let everyone know Ollie's surgery went well on Monday? Ollie defied the odds and came home on Friday. Obviously can't have been that serious an operation, really. I mean, it took me 2 weeks after mine to come home, so, you know. We'd appreciate continued prayers for the weeks ahead as we adjust to the new norm and Ollie tackles discomfort and various checkup appointments. Thank you to everyone for their prayers this far. That truly is a wonderful answer to prayer, because he wasn't supposed to be coming home for at least 2 weeks. And so thank you for your prayers. Keep praying, because the healing process needs our prayers just as much as the operating process did. Now here's the reflection. If I can find it, that's good, isn't it? There we go, yes. One detail stands out before the women ever arrive at Jesus' tomb. His enemies tried to make sure the grave stayed closed. The priests and Pharisees went to Pilate and were afraid the disciples might steal the body and claim a resurrection after Jesus had spoken about rising again after 3 days. So they asked for the tomb to be secured until the third day. Pilate agreed. Matthew tells us that they sealed the stone and posted the guard. That means the tomb was not simply closed by burial custom, it was officially secured. The stone was set in place, the seal marked authority. The guards added human force. Everything about the scene communicated the same intention. Jesus was to remain inside that grave. That is what makes the resurrection morning so weighty. Matthew does not present the empty tomb as a quiet surprise discovered in an unguarded place. He first shows us that every visible obstacle had already been set in place. There was a seal, there was a stone, there was a guard, and still none of that was enough. At the start of chapter 28, Matthew tells us there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. The guards trembled and became like dead men. The scene is almost ironic. The men assigned to keep a dead man in the grave became like dead men themselves, while the one they thought they had secured could not be held there. That is the point the passage quietly presses on the reader. No seal, no stone, no guard could keep Jesus from getting out of that grave. The seal represented official power. The stone represented physical finality. The guard represented human enforcement. Together they formed the strongest answer the world could give to Jesus' claim that he would rise. And together they failed. Matthew includes these details because the resurrection was not a rumour that began in a loose and uncertain setting. It happened in the very place his enemies had tried to lock down. And what they meant to keep final, God proved, was not final at all. Theologically, the details matter because they show that the resurrection was not Jesus escaping weakness by human help. He was not rescued by his disciples. He was not released because someone broke the seal in secret. He rose where death, empire, religion, and human force had all done their best to shut him in, and none of them could keep him there. And we see that before the angel even speaks. The guarded tomb has failed, the sealed grave has already been opened, and the stone has already been moved. Nothing could keep Jesus from getting out of that grave. I thought that was pretty good, so I wanted to share it with you. And now to what I had actually prepared for today. And it starts with a conversation that I was having with Annie at Jones's coffee shop in town. I suppose I ought to say at this point, other coffee outlets in Biggleswade are available. But we just happen to think Jones's is the best. Closely followed by Cafe Mocha. And the only reason is, you can have a private conversation in Jones's and you can't in Mocha. And Annie said something that really, really struck me. And I asked her if I could repeat it here this morning. She said yes. So here we go. This is my recollection. It might not be the exact words, Annie, but I think this was the gist of what you were saying. Basically, what she was saying is it okay to get baptized on Easter Sunday? Because I don't want to take the attention away from Jesus. And in 33 years of taking services and conducting baptisms, no one has ever asked me that question before. And I think it's a brilliant question. Simple answer is, yes, it is okay to get baptized on Easter Sunday, because when we get baptized, we are telling people what Jesus has done in our lives. So it's still about him. We're not taking the attention away from him at all. And I actually think that Easter Sunday is the very best day for anyone to get baptized, because of the story that believers' baptism tells of death and burial and resurrection and new life. It sums up Easter in such a powerful yet simple way. And of course, these are things that are first of all about Jesus, because if he hadn't done these things, we couldn't do these things. And then it's about everyone who follows him in faith, like Annie. And the Bible tells a big story, a story that involves each and every one of us. No one is excluded. And this is what it tells us. It tells us we were created by God to know him and enjoy his love. There's a thing called the Westminster Confession, written in the 17th century, that says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I like that. I really do. Some people have a rather strange definition of what it means to bring glory to God that involves, what was the phrase now, unleashing hell on another country and bombing them back to the Stone Age. That's not glorifying to God. What's glorifying to God is recognizing that you are loved. And it's recognizing that because you are loved, God sent his son to make that great sacrifice on the cross and then raised him from the dead to show his love powerfully in action. And I just love that phrase, the chief end of man, that's humankind, by the way, ladies are not excluded, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. If you've ever been to a church where the last thing you would ever describe it as is enjoyable, I want to apologize on behalf of that church. Because God wants us to enjoy him. He wants us to enjoy his love. He wants us to know his love. And he wants us to celebrate his love. That's what we're actually here for. But something went wrong. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve, who are representatives of the entire human race, decided they didn't want to glorify God and enjoy him forever. They decided they'd rather live life outside of God's love and grace. And the Bible calls that sin. And sin makes us God's enemies, although it doesn't stop him loving us. In fact, the rest of the Bible tells us how God has continually shown us that love, how he longs for us to live the way we were meant to live with him. And that's kind of where the Jesus bit comes in. Actually, the Jesus bit comes in straight after Adam and Eve have rebelled. When God says to the tempter, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And then the Bible goes on to tell the story of God reaching out to his people in love. A story that comes to a head in what we call Holy Week, particularly Good Friday and today Easter Sunday. Because we read in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So Jesus shed his blood for us, for our forgiveness, on Good Friday. No one else could have done it because no one else has ever sinned. And only someone who was both human and divine could bridge the gap that our sin creates between us and God. In baptism, we remember that sacrifice. We remember his death. We remember his burial. And we celebrate his resurrection. And the resurrection declares that death and sin and hell no longer need to have a hold on anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus' death crushed the head of the tempter. And Jesus' death was only the equivalent of the tempter striking his heel, because he rose and he conquered death. So Easter Sunday is a very important day in human history. You could say it's the most important day in human history, more important, more significant than Christmas Day, because if Jesus had not risen from the dead, there would be no hope for any of us. We'd be following a dead religious teacher. But Jesus rose. And because Jesus rose, we know we can have a relationship with a living Saviour who has told us time and time and time and time again that we are loved all the way through the story of the Bible, and even in our own lives supernaturally, maybe by someone touching us on the arm and saying, do you know that you are loved? Maybe a dream. Maybe you heard something and it just clicked. The whole story of the Bible has been described as a love letter from God to you and to me. And one of the best ways we can think about celebrating Easter Sunday is through someone getting baptized. Another Bible verse makes this promise. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that new life starts when we give ourselves to Jesus. It doesn't start when this life ends and the next one begins. Annie is now living that new life. Anyone who's put their faith in Jesus is now living that new life. And it's a life that is so much better than the old one, where we live for ourselves. We're centred on what we want and what we think, and we're looking for power, and we're looking for control over other people. We're looking for all sorts of things to make us feel satisfied that don't actually deliver. And the new life with Jesus gives us all that we ever need. It gives us forgiveness, it gives us hope, it gives us meaning and purpose. It gives us the knowledge and the assurance that we are loved and that we will never be alone ever again because of the living Lord Jesus. The resurrection makes all the difference. That begins in this life, but it carries on through death and into eternal life, because Jesus has promised, and we've sung it this morning, that all who follow him we'll follow him all the way through back to the Father's house. In the Father's house, there is a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And this isn't about being religious. This is about a relationship that God offers us in and through Jesus Christ. Religion doesn't do a lot of good. Religion tries to control us. Religion sets artificial boundaries and rules and behaviours up. Jesus didn't come to start a new religion. Jesus came to invite us into relationship with him, to know him as our personal Lord and Saviour. And he demonstrated that through his death and his resurrection. Above all else, Easter Sunday shows that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our lives, there is hope. There is hope. Because love conquers hate. Life conquers death. Good conquers evil. We shared some of that thought on Good Friday. Evil cannot, will not ever win, because love is stronger. Annie's begun to discover that. She will continue to discover that and grow in that through the rest of her life, knowing that she is loved with an everlasting love by the God whose love is greater even than death. The God who knows her intimately, who knows what lies ahead, and who promises to walk with her through that. That's such good news to know that. I don't know how you've come here this morning. I don't mean whether you've walked or come on in your car or whatever like that. I don't know what's going on in your life, particularly at the moment. Maybe you look at the world and you're worried, you're concerned. You might be a bit frightened. You may be living with fear or anxiety. You might be battling with ill health. You've just had a bad diagnosis. Or you know someone who's had a bad diagnosis. Or it might be that you're caught up in a cycle of wrongful behaviour. You know it's wrong, but you just can't stop yourself doing it. Because for a brief second it makes you feel good, but then for a long time afterwards it makes you feel ashamed. And if you're struggling with fear or anxiety, Easter can bring you peace. Because Jesus has overcome fear and anxiety through his resurrection. If you're battling with ill health, Easter brings comfort, because Jesus has shown that sickness and death are not the end for us. And if you're struggling in that cycle of sinful behaviour, Easter brings deliverance and freedom. We heard right at the beginning about the victory that we share in Jesus over death. And all any of us needs to do is what Annie has done. Recognize that you are loved. Come to Jesus. Put your life into his hands. Give your heart to him. Submit to his lordship. Whatever phrase you want to use. But say, Jesus, from now on, I am yours. Because of what you did at Easter. And when we put our faith and trust in him in that way, he promises us forgiveness of our sins. He promises us power over our sins. And he promises us his presence and full healing, maybe not necessarily of our physical ailments, but of our spiritual ailment, which is the most important part. And we can go through any situation knowing that he is right there with us and for us and will lead us through. Whether that's to healing in this life or to the ultimate healing, which is going into his presence. So I want to put out a challenge and an encouragement this morning. If you've never done it before, look into the Easter story in a bit more detail. Come and ask any of us who've been involved this morning up the front, or if you'd rather take a booklet, rather fetchingly designed with an Easter egg on it. Well done, Nicky Gumbel. There's a little booklet here called Why Easter. I've got a few of those, which I'll just leave on the table here. Free to take one of those. If you do take one, please do read it, and please let me know what you thought about it. And I'll be happy to chat with you about that. Or maybe you've been sitting here, you've been engaging with the songs, you've heard what Annie said, you've heard what I've said, you've sensed something of God speaking to you this morning. After all, if he's a living God, he's able to speak, he's able to listen, he's able to encounter us. And maybe today's the day. What a great day to start following Jesus on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Day. If you'd like that opportunity, I'm going to pray in a minute, and all you need to do is say amen at the end, and then just let somebody that you know who is a Christian know that you've prayed that prayer so that we can help you take the next steps. Because Easter Day could actually become the most important day in your personal history, as well as in the history of the world. And then if you are a Christian, and if you've been coming here for a few years, you know what I'm going to say next. If you are a Christian and you've not yet been baptized as a believer, why not? It's a great way to declare your faith. It's a great way to show Jesus that you belong to him. It's a great way to show us that you're serious about him. And although it's such a simple thing, it's a real blessing to go through. So if God's given you a nudge this morning about getting baptized, come and see me and we can put some stuff in place to let that happen. All of this we're invited to do as a response to knowing that we are loved by God. It's not about getting God to love you. It's not about getting God to like you even, because he loves you and likes you already. Nothing can change that. But we need to make a response. So I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus at whatever level you feel able to do so this morning. And I'm going to pray. As I said, if you want to make that commitment, you can pray through it with me in your heart or your mind. And then a nice big amen at the end. I'm not into getting people to stand up or come down to the front to do that, but it is good to do something to mark it, and that would just be to tell somebody else what you've done. Whether that's me, that's great, or somebody you've come with, that's great too. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for Easter Sunday. We thank you that on this day we know without doubt that our sins are forgiven, that our guilt is atoned for and our slate wiped clean. We thank you that Jesus rising from the dead shows us that death doesn't need to be the end of us, shows us that we don't need to be controlled by all the bad things in our lives or in our world, because he bore the weight of those on the cross on Good Friday. And we thank you that he did not stay dead. We thank you that he rose. And because he rose, we can too, right here and right now, but also when this life is over. And we can live a life of hope, of joy, of forgiveness, of grace, knowing we are a child of God. So we thank you for Jesus this morning. And Jesus, we choose to believe in your death and your resurrection. And we choose to follow you for the rest of our lives. Please come in by your Holy Spirit right now. Give us an assurance of your forgiveness. Even a sense of being cleansed or washed of things being lifted off our shoulders that we can't carry, but you can. And may this Easter Sunday be the most important day in our lives, because this is the day we came home to you. We thank you, we praise you, we look to you, and we choose to follow. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lots of amens there, so either lots of people have just become Christians, or lots of Christians have thoroughly agreed with that, and some people have become Christians. It'll be really interesting to find out. Great, we're going to sing our last song now, which, funnily enough, the first line, I think, is the greatest day in history, is it not, Helen? Yeah. This is love in action. Let's stand if we're able. Anything that's come up this morning, maybe you want to pray about giving your life to Jesus, maybe you've come with an issue that you'd like us to pray for, maybe you just want to receive a bit more of God on this Easter Sunday, please do come and ask for prayer. Otherwise, teas and coffees and cold drinks and biscuits and maybe hot cross buns are out in the hall, but you can't go out the hall that way because there's a big pool of water in the way, so please do go round the outside and through the white doors out the back, because we don't want to do any more baptisms today. I've got wet once, I'm not going to do it again. But if you do want to find out about baptism, do come and let me know. So go in the love and the joy and the grace and the happiness and the excitement of Resurrection Day. And may you know the presence of the living Lord Jesus in your life every single day until he returns or until he calls you home. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen.